Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. I'll read verse 13 first, and then we'll do 14, which is on the board.
Yadosha Vibrama Vivrita Kadaksha Pata Sambranta Naka Makaro Payagir Nakosha Sindhu Shirasya Hanam Parigi Harupi Padar Vindam Upagamya Papasetat.
Translation. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. So now we will read this verse on the board.
Na tvam vayam charatiya nuvidama puman. Na tvam charatiya nuvidama puman. Kudastam adi purusham jagatam abhisham. Kudastam adi purusham jagatam Yat sat vata suragana rajasa prajesha. Manyo shabhuta pataya sapavan gunesha. Pataya sapavan gunesha.
Na, not. Twam, your lordship.
Vayam,
we.
Jaratiya,
dull-minded, possessing blunt intelligence.
Nu,
indeed.
Vidama,
can know.
Bhuman,
O Supreme.
Kudastam,
within the core of the heart.
Adipurusham,
the original personality of Godhead.
Jagatam,
of the universes, which progressively go on.
Atisham,
Supreme Master.
Yat,
fixed under your direction.
Satvata,
infatuated with Sattva Guna.
Saragana,
such demigods.
Rajasa,
infatuated with Rajo Guna.
Praja Isha,
Prajapatis.
Manyo,
influenced by Tamo Guna.
Cha,
and
Bhutapataya,
rulers of ghosts.
Sa,
such personality.
Bhavan, your lordship.
Guna Isha, the master of all three modes of material nature. Translation. Oh, all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, master of entire universe, of the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. Purport. The word jadadhyā refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. A Hindi poet has said, Dukha se sab hari bhaje, sukha se bhaje koi, sukha se agar hari bhaje, dukha katha se hoi. When one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society. For without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langate kirim yakti pantamaham vande si garunti natarinam Om agyanati varandasya gananchara shalakaya chakshar miditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, are we dull-minded like this? And Krishna has to remind us sometimes. We forget, and so then he gives us a little kick. Oh, yes, okay, yeah. Right, surrender. I should surrender to Krishna. In a purport of one of Queen Kunti's prayers, Srila Prabhupada gives an interesting angle on this. Srila Prabhupada says, a mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for something valuable. The pure devotee does not render service unto the Lord for such exchange, and therefore the full mercy of the Lord is open for him. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive persons, and philosophers make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. When the purpose is served, there is no more relation with the Lord. A suffering man, if he is pious at all, prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. So how many times does the mercy of the Lord come to us and we are reluctant to receive it? Kunti was praying, but we should not pray like Kunti, because it will come anyway. We don't have to pray for it. The calamities will come. We don't have to worry about that, but we do have to worry about remembering Krishna somehow or other. Again, in Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, chapter 2, verse 56. One who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains to us what mentality we should have when miseries come and when happiness comes. We should also have a certain mentality when happiness comes too, not just when the miseries come. And so here Prabhupada, he says in the purport, such a fully Krishna conscious person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the threefold miseries, for he accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds. And he sees that his miseries by the grace of the Lord are minimized to the lowest. So he sees the miseries, this is mercy. I should have died, but instead I just got a little cut in my finger. I broke my ankle. I should have broken everything, but instead I just broke my ankle. Similarly, when he's happy, he gives credit to the Lord, thinking himself unworthy of the happiness. He realizes it is due only to the Lord's grace he is in such a comfortable condition and able to render a better service to the Lord. And for the service of the Lord, he's always daring and active and is not influenced by attachment or aversion. So when we're happy, how can we remember Krishna when we're happy? We can be grateful. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me opportunity to serve you, for giving me eyes to see your beautiful form, to giving me ears to hear the holy name and to hear the Krishna Katha. Thank you, Krishna. So that's not so difficult to say thank you, Krishna, when happiness comes. But when distress comes, can we say thank you, Krishna? Can we say thank you? Okay, I know one devotee here. One time she fell, many years ago, she fell down in the back and broke both her wrists. And she's saying, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna. It would be good to ask her, why are you thanking Krishna? Anyway, yeah. So we need to learn. But unfortunately, we know the philosophy, but it's very hard to apply it. We can't realize, we don't realize we're not this body, we're servant of Krishna. So when Prabhupada was here, one devotee, Chivikram Maharaj, who was a Prabhu at that time, a Brahmachari, was trying to express this feeling to Prabhupada that, you know, this feeling that we are fallen, I feel this, Prabhupada said, that's illusion. You're fallen means you got some certain desires except service to Krishna. So the conclusion is if you keep yourself tightly in Krishna's service, there's no question of falling down or a question of maya. One devotee said, but you know, I feel affected by the modes of nature. I'm experiencing it. Prabhupada said, no, you're not experiencing it. Your body is experiencing. You are feeling cold due to this body. You're not feeling cold. You're not feeling cold. And the devotee said, but I think I'm feeling cold. Prabhupada said, you are thinking. That is illusion. So the devotee said, I should rise above that. And Prabhupada said, yes, but not artificially. You have to gradually rise to that platform, just like you might be feverish, you might have a fever. Actually, you're healthy, but the fever has come. So the fever will not stay. You'll become healthy again. So don't be disturbed with the fever. Don't identify with it. Oh, and I have a fever. I have become feverish. Everything is finished. No, and the way to get over this is to keep on doing your service. Even though the modes are attacking, even though you have a fever, then you just keep doing your service. I know when I was a pujari in Calcutta in the 70s, I was the only one who could dress Radha Govinda. So fever or no fever, I had to dress the deity. Sometimes it was very interesting, though. I would have a high fever, like 40 or whatever. I don't know. At Western, it was 104, 105. And then I would dress the deities. And after dressing, the fever was gone. And so it works. You chant Hare Krishna. And it's very helpful for everything, spiritually and materially. And so here, there are three kinds of miseries, threefold miseries, mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, adibhautik, adidaivik, adiatmik. And so let us take some advice from Srimad Bhagavatam how to counteract these threefold miseries. There is a nice verse in 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 24, which explains exactly how to counteract each of the threefold miseries. So, by good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. By meditation and trance, one should counteract sufferings due to providence, adidaivik. By practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract sufferings due to the body and mind, adiatmik. So we'll go over these one by one. First of all, adidaivik. That you're cold, that it's flood, that there's drought. Meditation and trance. Of course, we know how to meditate by chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna. But actually, there are many sadhus in India. They also have different kinds of meditation. And even by their other meditations and personal meditation, they can overcome the misery of heat and cold and the adidaivik misery. So there is an example in 2013 here in India, in Kedarnath, there was a devastation. There was a flood. There was everything was destroyed around the Kedarnath temple. There was all the guest houses, all the restaurants. But there was one sadhu who was standing in front of the Shiva Linga in front of Lord Shiva and meditating in trance. And he was not disturbed. Everything was destroyed around him. There was floods, there was everything. But the temple was protected because one big stone fell in back of the temple and the temple was okay. Now, why did this devastation happen? The government decided to move Parvati's temple above Lord Shiva's. And the pujari had a dream the night before they moved her temple, and she came to him and said, "Don't do it. Don't move my temple." They moved her temple. And there was devastation in Kedarnath. And so I was watching it on Facebook, and there were thousands of people stranded up there in Kedarnath, and they were taking them out by helicopter. So then it came this, you know, because all the roads were destroyed. They couldn't go by road anywhere. So then it came the turn of this sadhu to go on the helicopter, and he said, "I don't need a helicopter, I will walk." And so he was completely fixed in trance, meditation. And so we can also, if we're fixed in trance, then we can be saved. There's an example of His Holiness Indradumna Swami. One time he was on an airplane, and the airplane was coming in for landing, and it was shaking violently, and he said, "Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna," and the Christians were going, "Jesus, Jesus," and the Muslims were going, "Allah, Allah," and the plane just couldn't land. It went back up, and next to Maharaj there was one scientist. He said, "Swamiji, I do not believe in all these things." So the plane went back down for trying for landing. It was shaking. The scientist was getting sick. And they went back up. And the pilot said, "Okay, we're going to try one more time. And if we don't make it this time, then we're going to go back to where we came from." So then the scientist said, "Swamiji, what are you chanting?" And Maharaj said, "Hare Krishna." "No, the whole thing, the whole thing." As the scientist learned the Maha Mantra. And they went down for landing, and everybody was chanting, and the plane landed safely. And so then Maharaj said to the scientist, "Now, do you believe?" And the scientist said, "Maybe." So then Maharaj said, "Here's my card. If you have any questions, you can contact me." So, yes, this meditation and trance is very helpful. Or adi-daivik miseries. Adi-bhautik, miseries due to other living entities. Good behavior and freedom from envy. So Bhagavatam 3:29-27 explains how for juniors you should show daya, you should show mercy. For equals, you should be friendly, show friendship. And for superiors, you should do service. And this will please Krishna, who is in everyone's heart. So this is not so easy, not so easy. Sometimes we see, even in our Krishna conscious movement, that devotees don't get along with each other. And they would, even when Prabhupada was here, this was happening. One devotee wrote a letter to Prabhupada and said, devotees are so impersonal. And they're fighting. And so Prabhupada wrote back, he said, "People should not expect that even in the Krishna conscious society there will be utopia. There will always be some lacking because everyone is persons. But the difference is in their lacking, because they've given up everything to serve Krishna, their lackings have become transcendental. Because despite everything they may do, their topmost intention is to serve Krishna." And then Prabhupada quoted Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, verse 30. "One who is engaged in devotional service, despite the most abominable action, is to be considered saintly." So when we were here in India in the 1970s, very austere, especially Bombay. Bombay Temple, I came to Bombay in 1972, and my first day in India, there was this hut where the brahmacharis were living in this hut, and it was also the prasadam room and the kitchen and the office and everything in one. The ladies were up on the roof of a building, and it was summer. So anyway, it was prasadam time. I was so happy. I was really hungry after a long flight from the States where I got sick. But now I had appetite. And I went in the prasadam room and I was looking up and there were these huge rats running across the rafters. I said, oh my God, what if he falls on my plate? And he fell in someone else's plate. And I was happy. I shouldn't have been, but this is not Vaishnava. His Holiness Bhakti Tirthamraj, he was asking questions about this. Have you ever been very happy that you're saved from some misery? And everybody, yes, I was happy. Have you ever seen somebody else who's miserable and think, wow, glad it didn't happen to me? And people raised their hands. Then he asked another question. Have you ever been happy or unhappy to see somebody else's misery and wish that it came to you instead? Nobody raised their hand. And so this is Vaishnava. It's a Vaishnava. He thinks for others. So when we were in Juhu, I was not there a long time. I came to Calcutta quickly. Calcutta was austere, but I had a roof over my head at least. So I was happy. But in Bombay, it was very austere. And so Prabhupada used to go on a morning walk with Dr. Patel. And Dr. Patel was always quoting Bhagavad Gita, but his goal was to merge. He had an impersonal goal, liberation. But he was very kind-hearted. He went and he begged to all the merchants in Bombay for mattresses for the devotees, blankets, pillows, mosquito nets. He donated to the devotees. And then, but within, you know, India, within 2 years, they were all missing. They all got lost somehow or others. They got stolen or something. And Dr. Patel complained to Prabhupada, you know, I gave all these things and now, you know, these devotees, they don't take care of themselves. They don't take care. And so Prabhupada said, these devotees do not care if they have to sleep on the floor. They do not care if they get disease or do not have proper facilities. That liberation you so much desire, they already have. So Prabhupada, he said, we were liberated. At least we were liberated from sleeping in beds. Now we sleep in a bed, but 18 years, no bed. But so India was wonderful. And we accepted, we thought, oh, this is an adventure. Let us save the world. Let us build these temples for Prabhupada. So we should see the good. We should see the good. So Adi Bhautik, miseries you can overcome by worshiping the juniors, worshiping the seniors, helping the juniors, and being friends with your equals. In the material society, it's the opposite. When Prabhupada went to Japan in the 70s to print his books, Krishna book, he met with the executives of the Dynapon company. And he talked to one executive alone, and he asked this executive, what is your goal of life? So the executive took out a bunch of calling cards for all of the executives, and his was on the bottom. And he took his card and put it on the top. This is my goal. So that's the way it is in the material world, that you can't be on top unless you put everybody else down. But spiritual life is the opposite. You can be on top when you put everybody else up. That's spiritual life. So how to counteract Adi Bhautik miseries. Adi Atmic miseries now. Here it says, Hatha Yoga and Pranayama. Now very interesting that Prabhupada many times in Bhagavatam equates pranayam with harinam, chanting Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, we're doing pranayam, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. This is pranayam. So we have to, and there's an example of this also. When I was in a retreat in Nepal, a ladies Vaishnavi retreat, there was an evening kirtan which started, I think, around 7:30 in the evening. And so everybody, almost everybody, most of the ladies were in ecstasy, chanting and dancing the holy name, except one lady who was not from Nepal. She was from Gujarat. And she was very hungry, and it was time for prasad, 7:30. So she went and she tried to get the attention of somebody, but everybody was in ecstasy, chanting and dancing. She said, time for prasad. Nobody paid attention. So here, again, 8:30, she came, prasad. Nobody paid attention. One more time, she tried, 9:30, prasad. Nobody paid attention. So then she joined the chanting and dancing, and she forgot to eat too. And so you can counteract the adiatmic, the miseries of the body and mind, by pranayam, which means chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the attitude of the devotee is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tathedukam Pamsu Samikshamano, hope against hope, that the Lord will be merciful, having faith. Tathedukam Pamsu Samikshamano, Mujana Ivatma Kitam Vipakam, and we tolerate the reactions to our past sinful deeds. And revival per Vihid vag vapurvir vidadhanamaste. With body, mind, and words, we engage in devotional service. Jivetiyo muktipade sadaya bhak, and then we become eligible to go back to Godhead. And so, Vishwanath Chakravarti makes a beautiful purport commentary on this. Why does the Lord give suffering to devotees? So he says, is at night the sunrise becomes attractive. During hot summer, cold water gives comfort. During cold winter, warm water is nice. And lamplight is attractive in darkness. So similarly, when to strengthen his devotee's mood of dependence on him and longing for him, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering. And when Krishna comes to deliver him, the gratitude and pleasure knows no bounds. So we depend on Krishna. But still, sometimes it's hard to apply these things. We should try. We should try to apply. One of my godbrothers, Bhagavat, I think he's a Maharaj now, he asked Prabhupada the question. He said, I'm confused because in your books, in your lectures, you say, when you become a devotee, you're on the transcendental platform. But at the same time, you talk about being affected by the modes of material nature. Although I'm a devotee, and I'm practicing, and I get a certain amount of transcendental pleasure, at the same time, I feel affected by the modes of material nature. How can I be on the transcendental platform and still be affected? And so Prabhupada said, it's just like being on a boat. When you're on the boat, no one can say you're not on the boat. You're on the boat, but sometimes big waves will come and rock the boat, and you might fall down. Just don't get off the boat. So those waves are the modes of material nature, and the boat is the transcendental platform. You're on the transcendental platform, but sometimes the waves of material nature rock the boat. So your position is not steady. So how you become steady, you learn from the captain how to steer the boat. And if you learn, then you can steer even in the worst type of storm of the modes of material nature. So I'd like to leave you with one prayer, because sometimes it's hard to be a pure devotee or act like one. So here, this prayer I got from His Holiness Sachinandan Swami, that when problems come to us and we feel like, oh, this problem is impossible, I cannot overcome this problem. So here's the prayer. Maharaj says, I cannot solve this alone. It is beyond my capabilities, intelligence, plans, ideas, etc. I sincerely request you to accept me as your surrendered soul. Protect and maintain me. Protect me means keep me in a situation where I can function and the problems of material existence don't upset my life that much. Protect. Maintain me means maintain me on the spiritual platform. Yes, so there's that verse, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, in 9th chapter, verse 22, that Krishna carries what we lack and gives protects what we have. So sometimes we would like to think he protects the things that we have, the material things, and gives us what we lack in case we need money or something. But actually, if you read the purport, it's a spiritual protection. Spiritual protection. He protects what we have spiritually, and he gives what we lack spiritually. And so that should be our prayer. So I will stop here if there's any questions, comments. No. Yes.
You are saying that sometimes our thoughts and we are not able to go together, and many of them they go on separate and did there something, whatever they are doing. They are doing separate, but they are still following Prabhupada, they are glorifying Prabhupada and chanting Hare Krishna. So what would you say about those people?
I didn't quite understand. You're saying some people?
Some devotees went in the together, but they could not go together. They went separate and they did their things, and they still remember Prabhupada and chanting Hare Krishna, giving Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. They were continuing the same thing.
Yes, one devotee asked Prabhupada a similar question, and Prabhupada, his answer was, "It is not for us to judge. The spiritual master will judge what is to be done about such devotees." Because the question was like, oh, this devotee fell down, he did so many nonsense things, now he's coming back, so we think he should just wash pots, he should not be Brahmin. And Prabhupada said, that is not for you to judge. That is for the spiritual master to judge. So we should not meditate on devotees who may cause us trouble, because it can become a negative meditation. Just like, give you an example, Burijan gives in his class. One time he was eating prasad across from somebody who had his knee up and his head in his hands, and he was saying, how can he have such a posture like that? And while he's eating, this went on for 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks, Burijan started sitting like that. So we have to be careful not to meditate on this, but you be example. You be the example. How you want them to be. You just be the example. Don't worry about others who may have trouble, unless you can help them, of course. But if, So that would be Prabhupada's answer to that question. That was in, I think, Melbourne, Australia. At the end of a class, one devotee asked the question three times, and Prabhupada gave the same answer. It's not for you to judge. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Any comments, Maharaj? Okay. No. Okay. Jai, all glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Hare Krishna.